Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 8, The Poison from Within. Put off bitterness and put on forgiveness. Bitterness slowly but surely destroys the vessel it resides in. We will all suffer many wrongs done to us in our lifetime. How we respond to what hurts and harms us will determine if we will be a bitter person or a forgiving one. How is bitterness described? Bitterness refers to a mental or emotional state that eats away at a person because of persistent poisonous thoughts regarding difficult situations. It acts on the mind and emotions similar to the way poison acts on the body. Bitter poison seethes on the inside and then spews out that poison outwardly onto others. Bitterness is described as venom. A venomous, continual, unforgiving attitude goes from being offended to having contempt toward the offender. Bitterness can be aggressive, hostile, spiteful, and mean. In a nutshell, bitterness is an unwillingness to forgive when wronged, hurt, or mistreated. It holds on to the grievance instead of releasing it to God. So I'll repeat that. Bitterness holds on to offenses, hurt, harm, and grievances instead of releasing them to God for Him to deal with in His timing and in His way. If bitterness is not removed, it becomes an emotional cancer that eats at the soul because of the continual drinking of the poison of unforgiveness. Just a note, bitterness is felt and displayed in a variety of ways and at different levels. Some show bitterness in obvious ways on the outside, and others seethe with bitterness on the inside, but the bitter fumes still poison relationships in all kinds of destructive ways. How do we become bitter? Bitterness can be caused by what is unfair in life, when expectations are not met, when we have been taken advantage of, when we have been rejected and neglected, when we have been abused, abandoned, and unloved, when we have been deeply hurt by betrayal, when someone makes no effort to right their wrong toward us, and the list goes on and on for personal reasons and hurtful experiences. Then we become bitter when we cling to the hurts and hardships because we either don't know how to deal with them, or we don't want to let them go, or we can't seem to move past them. We can also become bitter at God because we feel He didn't care as He allowed these hardships. How does unresolved bitterness affect us? Bitterness is venomous, deadly, and toxic to us and the people around us. It poisons our thoughts, emotions, behavior, and reactions in relationships. Many times, innocent bystanders receive our bitter poison. This is especially harmful when it is done to family members that had nothing to do with what someone else did to us. Bitterness only gets worse. At first, bitterness is like a small root that can easily be pulled up if we choose to forgive, as we trust that God sees and deals with everything and everyone in His own timing and in His own ways. We must always be on the alert of allowing bitter roots to grow in our hearts when we don't quickly pull them out with forgiveness. Note the progression of bitterness. Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, which is evil speaking, malice. These are the six areas of sin grouped together that the Apostle Paul tells us we should make a conscious effort to avoid because they are all so destructive to us and others. And it starts with bitterness because of ongoing unforgiveness. Let's look at the meanings of these sins we are instructed to avoid. Bitterness. This is when we hold on and rehash the wrongs done to us. Ongoing unforgiveness and resentment then create a bitter spirit. Bitterness is when we won't let go by placing the harm done to us at the foot of the cross as we trust God will heal us. Also, we know in God's timing and in His way, He will deal with the one who offends and has no remorse, repentance, or regret for what they have done to us. Wrath. The Greek term here implies something that is hot and fierce. Wrath is another word for rage. This is the type of anger that boils over to the point that it controls us, causing us to act in an out-of-control, careless way. This can be done to the one who has offended us or just anyone, because now we have a bitter spirit that can be directed at various people for a variety of reasons. Anger. This is a persistent type of anger which is habitual to the point we have become an angry person in how we deal with situations and people that frustrate us. Anger is very destructive in relationships because it essentially devalues people. Clamor. This Greek term refers to commotion and uproar. The word is also translated as quarreling, which includes wrath and anger with the quarreling. Slander. Slander is speaking false evils and lies out of our unforgiveness and anger toward the one who has offended us. Slander is any speech which harms others because that's what bitterness does. It harms others. Malice. This word implies evil intent that desires to deliberately harm or injure others through various means. Bitterness wants revenge at any cost. But God says He will avenge the wrong done to us. It's His business and not ours. Bitterness poisons relationships. Romans 3, verse 14. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Based on the context of this verse, it is likely referring to a bitter person calling out for bad things to happen to those who caused us harm and hurt. Our mouth expresses resentment and bitterness while hoping God's cursing will come upon them. Just a note, cursing them is much different than simply knowing God has consequences for the wrongs done to us. Forgiveness does not mean the offender is free from God's consequences, perhaps in the future, but forgiveness does free us from bitterness. If we do see consequences in the life of our offender. This is what Scripture says. Proverbs 24, verses 17 through 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Human beings are inclined to celebrate when others suffer consequences which they may well be deserving of. But God doesn't want us to delight by having a superior, sneering attitude. We thank God when sometimes we might actually see God's justice in action toward offenders, but we aren't glad and celebrate over it. Neither would we want others to rejoice when we suffer consequences for our wrong, sinful ways. We can have compassion even when we see consequences coming into another person's life. Let's do PAT, Practical Application Tools. Now, there are 6 tools to stop drinking the poison of bitterness. First tool, get rid of it. Second tool, remember, God forgives me. Third tool, I forgive others. Fourth tool, necessary attitudes to have. Fifth tool, prevent bitterness. And the 6th tool, don't be revengeful. Let's get into more detail about these tools. The first tool, get rid of it. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32, let all bitterness be put away from you. Hebrews 12, verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. The Old Testament Hebrew uses the word bitter as a reference to poison. Here, the bitter roots are said to cause trouble and defilement within a person and within their relationships. Therefore, God doesn't want us to toy with unforgiveness or bitterness. He tells us to put it away far from us. We are to quickly get rid of it because of the destruction it can cause. Second tool, God forgives me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must understand God's forgiveness toward us if we are going to forgive others. When we refuse to forgive, we truly don't understand our own need for forgiveness. It's not about a comparison of the levels of sin, but rather all sin needs forgiveness by God, no matter how small or big, because he is holy and all are in need of his forgiveness. Though believers are forgiven at the point of salvation, there is also an ongoing sense in which believers need to confess sin and experience God's ongoing forgiveness, just as others also need this. Third tool, I forgive others. Understandably, there will be many painful experiences in our lifetime that others put on us. It can seem we will never want to forgive or know how to forgive or be able to forgive, but God walks us through that journey. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's incredibly difficult, if not seemingly impossible, to do. But since God tells us to do it and knows we can't possibly do this on our own, he wants us to trust. He wants us to trust that he will strengthen us through the process. It's important to remember it's not as much about the wrong others have done to us as it's more about our willingness to put those wrongs into the hands of God. It's more about loving God than hating the harm done to us. Forgiveness is not a feeling or a "I want to" response. Forgiveness is an act of the will as we surrender to God's way of us dealing with hardships through forgiveness and thus learning hard lessons that will be valuable for how God will use us in the future so we won't become bitter and stifle the potential God has given us. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Scripture says to forgive others as we have been forgiven. It's a two-way street, God forgiving us and us forgiving others. Very hard to do, but it's harder to get the root of bitterness out of our lives and then try to repair the damage we did in relationships because of it. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Here we see that forgiveness is ongoing. In any relationship or dealings with people, we will have plenty of opportunities to continually choose to forgive. In other words, it is never ending. The opportunity to forgive never stops. Just a note, this does not mean we don't deal with habitual, harmful, sinful behavior in others toward us. We must deal with ongoing wrongs. We don't simply ignore them, because no good comes out of continual, sinful, harmful actions. But we can do both. Deal with the wrongs in a firm way if necessary, but still be willing to forgive. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not minimizing what has happened. Forgiveness is not an elimination of consequences. For example, we might not have an ongoing relationship with the person who continually causes harm and hurt without any change. Forgiveness is not the automatic restoration of a relationship, nor does it mean we should have one with that person. Forgiveness does not mean God doesn't deal with what has happened to us in His way and His timing. He doesn't ignore harm that has come across us, but we must put it in His care instead of us constantly caring more about what has hurt us than us forgiving that hurt, because we don't want to become a bitter person. Just a note, sometimes professional or legal assistance needs to be taken in order to stop definite harm. We don't ignore that just because we forgive. Fourth tool, necessary attitudes. Put on kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Paul gives three commands. First, we are to demonstrate kindness. This means to be kind-hearted, gentle, thoughtful, and understanding. In other words, we are not supposed to be mean-spirited, rude, and retaliatory to our offenders, even if we think they deserve it. Simply put, it is having a gracious attitude instead of a mean one. Second, we are to be tender-hearted or compassionate. This means we are to show sympathy instead of being harsh, by realizing even the worst of sinners have been made by God. Their terrible choices do not make them any less valuable to God, even though He hates the sins they commit. Third, we are to forgive, as we have already mentioned. Forgiveness is a unique characteristic of the Christian faith. Otherwise, we are no different than the unsaved. What does this verse say takes the place of our unforgiveness, resentfulness, and bitterness? Kindness takes the place of unforgiveness. Tenderheartedness takes the place of resentfulness. Forgiveness takes the place of bitterness. This is what is called put off and then put on. If we don't know what to stop doing, then it is difficult to know what to start doing. The fifth and final tool, prevent bitterness. When I am tempted to become bitter, God gives a way out. Matthew 5, verses 44 through 46. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Here Jesus is commanding His disciples to love their enemies by praying for them instead of having bitter thoughts toward them. Our enemies can include those who do harm or hurt toward us. We are not talking about the everyday offenses that we all need to deal with, but we are addressing true harm and hurt, and especially that which is ongoing. We put off bitter thoughts and put on praying for those who have wronged us. This helps us to have a forgiving attitude because we realize prayer is more important than recycling our thoughts with the continual harm that is done to us. Jesus' declaration that even tax collectors can love those who love them was meant as a challenge. Tax collectors were associated with a lack of integrity, poor morals, were deeply corrupt as they lined their own pockets to become wealthy at the expense of the fellow citizens. Even those tax collectors found it easy to love those who did them no harm. But loving others by praying for them is imitating Christ, which is very difficult to do. But this is one way we can deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus' example of forgiveness. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Taking up our cross means doing what is hard, the lifting of the heavy burden of forgiveness. The sixth tool, sorry, this was not the last one with the fifth one. Don't be revengeful. Don't pay back evil for evil. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is Mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Paul in the New Testament declares that we must resist our natural human instinct for revenge. Instead, Paul tells us to be peaceable. We do this by putting off unforgiveness, resentment, and the poison of bitterness. In this way, we are putting on peace by quieting ourselves in the Lord, in His Word, by resting in His sovereign ways over every aspect of our lives. On the other hand, revenge and bitterness causes us to react in a chaotic way, which disrupts our own peace and our relationships. So let's recap the six tools to stop drinking the poison of bitterness. First tool, get rid of bitterness. Second tool, remember God forgives me of all my sins. Third tool, therefore I need to forgive others. Fourth tool, attitudes that are necessary. Fifth tool, ways to prevent bitterness. Sixth tool, don't be revengeful. Before we finish, we can learn to be intentional about being a forgiving person instead of a bitter one as we follow the example of Joseph. His story is found in Genesis 50. Whenever you are struggling with unforgiveness, read how Joseph responded to unbelievable hardships. His love for God was far greater than his need to hold on to all the harm that had been done to him. Ask God to give you a heart that is willing to let go of hurt done to you so He can use even your darkest memories to be powerfully used for His glory. Unforgiveness and bitterness holds us back from the potential of God using us in powerful ways for the sake of all eternity. I know the story of Joseph has helped me wade through dark waters several times in my life and has helped me to choose forgiveness, if not immediately, then eventually. It's encouraging to know people like Joseph were able to overcome bitterness just as we can with God's help. Let's look at the example of Joseph. Joseph went through incredible suffering of all kinds for many, many years. His own brothers were so jealous of him that they wanted to kill him. Instead, they sold him into slavery as they rejected him as part of the family. He had no mother to comfort him in his growing up years. She had died in childbirth. He was taken away from the father that deeply loved him and didn't see him again until his father was very old. In the pagan land he resided in, after he was sold, he was accused of trying to rape his master's wife. Even though he was innocent in every way, he was thrown into prison for years. He asked a friend who was in prison with him to remember him to Pharaoh so he could get out of prison, but that friend forgot him. But Joseph stayed steadfast and secure in his faith to God his entire life, no matter what people did to him or what God allowed. Joseph accepted that he was not in any position to question God's ultimate sovereign ways, regardless of what others did to him. His love for God was far greater than any damage that others had done to him. He knew it was all about God and not about him or those who had harmed him. It was all about the sovereign God of the universe that someday he would live forever with, without any more harm done to him. Joseph's focus was not on all the bad that had been done to him. Rather, his focus was on remaining faithful to God in the bad. Joseph could have just as well been bitter toward God for all that he allowed to happen to him. But look at Joseph's response. When Joseph saw the brothers many years later who had betrayed him, instead of being unforgiving and bitter, which he had ample reason for doing so, this is what Joseph said to those who had done him so much harm, and which he could not have said if he would have become bitter. Genesis 50, verse 20. As for you, my brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God is never at a loss as to what to do when we are harmed by others. In his greater plans that we can't possibly see or understand the depth of, he has the power and the wisdom to turn even the most devastating situations into an eternal good. Our hurts are temporary. What we do with our hurts is what matters in the everlasting kingdom of God forever. A big thank you to all my listeners for hanging in there while we discuss hard topics. Let's all keep trying as we pray for God's wisdom through his word to transform our lives through the power of our helper, the Holy Spirit. Never forget what Christ did on the cross for you. It's the greatest gift that could ever be experienced in your lifetime. Please keep God's message going out to various people in different situations as you share this podcast. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.